It's time for the Mocha Moms. Today's topics, an update on Walt Disney's The Princess and the Frog. It features Disney's first black princess. Then, co-sleeping. Do you or don't you? Tell the truth. And the divorce rate. It's steadily dropping, but some experts say the reason is more couples are living together instead of marrying. Our question is, what's better for the kids? Our guests today are Jolene Ivey, co-founder of the Mocha Moms and a mother of five, Davina McFarland, a mother of three, and Shelley English Figaro, Mocha Moms president emerita and also a mother of three. Hi, moms.
Hi, hello. Michelle.
Now let's start with Disney's The Frog Princess, or now The Princess and the Frog. Disney unveiled its plans to have the first black princess. She is scheduled to debut in 2009. Have you all heard about this?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
What do we think, Jolene? What do we think about The Princess and the Frog?
I don't really care too much about The Princess and the Frog because I only have boys. But I did notice that the princess, of course, is the first black princess for Disney. But the frog is still, in the end, Caucasian, the prince. And I can't figure out why they couldn't both be black. I was just curious. I don't have issues with interracial Disneying, but I just thought that it was interesting.
That is interesting. I wonder if it would be the other way, if there would be a black prince with a...
Now, you know, they are not going to let their little white girl go off with that black prince. You can so forget that.
Shelley, what about you?
I am past excited. I have two girls. And, you know, we love Disney princess stuff. What I typically do is, if there's a Disney something that they want, I'll make sure I'll buy the one that says Disney princess and not the one that necessarily features the blonde woman or the blonde Cinderella or the...
Belle from Beauty and the Beast.
Right. We try to buy Jasmine because she's of color, and I want my girls to have sheroes that look similar to them. So I am past excited.
Why?
Disney is going to make a lot of money out of the Figaro family.
Is that
it's
right?
About time.
Okay, Davina.
I agree. It's about time. And yes, they're going to make a lot of money from my family as well. I only have one daughter. But I myself am a passionate princess fan. I'm excited, but I'm also, you know, I'm a little bit concerned. Because if you're looking at, you know, the reason everybody's so excited is because, you know, your daughter can have a role model now, someone who looks like she does. Well, why can't her prince look like my prince?
Yeah, why can't my boys have a role model?
All right, Shelley, tell me about why the princess thing is so important to you. Why do you want this princess so badly?
Because we go to Walt Disney World, and Walt Disney World and the Disney stores, and you're inundated with Disney princesses, and it's beautiful stuff. It's gorgeous stuff. But I want to make sure that she doesn't equate that beauty as the only beauty. So if she can't be a princess, quote unquote, because she doesn't have white skin and blonde hair, I feel that it might diminish her in some way. So this is just a boost for her and for all the little black girls out there who can, they can now go to the store and say, ah, there's the little black princess. And, oh, this princess looks like me.
A cult, sort of a culture. Like, okay, Davina, what is it about the princess ideal that you embrace?
Oh, gosh. Every little girl grows up and they want to be whatever. Some little girls grow up and they dream about being the bride. Some little girls grow up and they dream about being the princess. I was the princess girl. Now that I have a daughter, I'm the queen and she's the princess.
Me too.
Me too. But, you know, my daughter was born and we used to make a joke that, you know, she's royalty and you don't turn your back on royalty. And that's just how we have always lived in our household. That's how I was raised.
So girls rule.
Absolutely.
Okay. Let's move on to co-sleeping. Now, we are mochas here. It's all the mochas. Tell the truth, mochas. Do you co-sleep? Do you let your kids sleep with you?
Not only do we do it, but minorities generally sleep with their babies. In fact, around the world, most people sleep with their babies. It's only the dominant white culture that doesn't, and they seem to control what we think we're supposed to be doing. But
apparently the story is it's going more the other way, that more of the majority culture is embracing this. But some of the psychologists are saying this is not necessarily a great thing. So
no, there's nothing that says that it's a bad thing. I've been reading this book lately, so it's interesting it came up. It's called Sleeping with Your Baby, A Parent's Guide to Co-Sleeping. It's by Dr. James J. McKenna. And he has gotten some really interesting information where he shows that there's actually less SIDS, fewer infant deaths with co-sleeping if it's done safely. than by putting your baby off by itself in a crib.
Oh, so all of you are into the co-sleeping?
No. Yes, really? Absolutely. I parent a lot by instinct. And part of that is because the very first book I bought as a new mom was Dr. William Sears, his book called The Baby Book. And, of course, he's a big attachment parenting, you know, La Leche mm-hmm. League. And that was the organization that I was most involved with when my first child was young. And so my husband is the one that initially brought our son into bed with us because he cried all the time. And honestly, I went to La Leche League for the first time when my son was about 5 months old. And there was a woman there with five boys. She was the leader. Her name was Barbara Martin. She was wonderful. And she also slept with her kids. And she said to me, you know, by the time they're 9 or 10, they're definitely out of the bed. And I said, oh, okay. And sure enough, by the time Brandon was 9 or 10, he was out of the bed.
Now, 9 or 10 months? Please tell me 9
years.
Or 10 years.
No, I did not last
that long.
How
did she come up
long.
With any more kids with the 9-year-old? I'm
you
sorry,
know what?
Just...
Guess what? I have 3. And they were each conceived with us doing family bed. Now, there are other rooms in the house. Hello. There are other beds in the
house.
Yeah, because
that was getting too much information for me. But...
other beds, other rooms.
So you think it's kind of just a normal human instinct?
Yes, I think people like, you know, closeness. And you start off the kids and, you know, you get to sleep in your big kid bed and aren't you excited? And, you know, my kids were like, I don't want to be a big kid because I don't want to be by myself.
You know what? You've dropped some knowledge here because I think what you all are saying is, you know, trust your instincts on this.
Trust your instincts on this. Parent by instincts.
Okay, let's move on. The divorce rate is the lowest level since 1970. It's down to 3.6 per 1,000 people. Curious to know why you all think that might be so. Some people say that it's because people are living together more often. What do you think, Jolene? Do you think that's true?
Oh, it is true. I mean, if people are getting married at a later age, and if they're just not getting married at all, if they're living together, well, that's not going to affect the divorce rate, is it? It's just going to keep it low.
Well, how do you feel about that? Is that a good trade-off for society?
Well, whether the parents are married or not is not really the issue. The issue is, are the people parents? Do you have children together, and then do you break up? That's the issue. It's not whether the legal document is broken. So I think that we really need to look at bigger numbers, not just the divorce rate, but the rate of people who cohabitate, have children, and separate.
I'm going to play you a clip from our Friday segment. You know, on Friday, we have a guys-only segment called The Barbershop, and we ask them to take up this topic, and this is what one of the guys said. Here we go.
Now, Eugene, you'll appreciate this. Because the Associated Press reports that the divorce rate has dropped significantly since 1970. Now, this might be because more people are choosing to live together. And Eugene, now, you know, I've been around the mulberry bush twice now. And I can say that, you know what, there's a lot to recommend the shack up. You get all the benefits, none of the hassle. And if you do plan to get married, look, a crash test is a lot easier than a divorce.
Okay. Lots of eye rolling going on here, Davina. What do you think?
As a man, if you can find a woman who agrees with you, go for it. It wouldn't happen in my house. And I certainly would not be encouraging my daughter to live that way. I wouldn't encourage any of my children to do that.
How come?
If this person is important enough to you that you want to live with them and you want to share, you know what, with them, then why not take the next step? If they're that important to you.
Well, I think his argument was that this is a way to avoid a bigger mistake later on. Mm-hmm. Just don't buy it.
I'll tell you what I know about marriage. It's a choice that I make every day. It's not something that I don't work at. I think that if I weren't married and we lived together, it's too easy to walk away.
What if, though, as a sort of a macro level, the decision of more people to live together is leading to a decrease in the divorce rate? Do you think that's a good trade-off for society, especially when kids are involved? What do you think?
If you are parenting, if you're co-parenting and that parent splits up, it's a divorce. It's just not a legal divorce, but it's an emotional divorce. So the damage is still there, whether or not the piece of paper was behind it or not, because you still have a two-parent household becoming a one-parent household, and children are still going to be scarred.
Mm-hmm. Jolene, what do you think about this?
Well, one thing that I've noticed is that the divorce rate is lower in upper-income, well-educated families.
Why do you think that is?
Part of it is just the obvious financial issues. I mean, all the counseling in the world, if you don't deal with the fact that you don't have enough money, if you have a lot of financial stress, it puts stress on your marriage. It's going to put stress in your relationship. That's just one obvious thing. Beyond that, I don't know. I don't know if this culturally, there's just more pressure within upper income neighborhoods for you to stay together or not. I don't know.
Interesting. It's a lot to chew on there. Well, thank you, Moms. We're joined today by Jolene Ivey, co-founder of the Mocha Moms, a mother of five, Davina McFarland, mother of three, Mocha Moms member, and Shelley English Figaro, Mocha Moms president emerita, and also a mother of three. Moms, thank you so much for joining us once again.
Thank you
for having us.